All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good as always. Be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. If I didn't say it already, Happy New Year to everybody. Hassle-free TV is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. Why Not Me is on. Waterline 46 is on. Kept Guy 1 is on. Lisa Kinzer is on. D9597 is on. Joe Heathen is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Judy Anita is on. Jim Kohler is on. Dave Souter is on. Prayer Works is on. Let's see who did I miss here. Nina something wife is on. Appreciate you. Shaylin 04 is on. Let me see here. Irish One is on. Leon Fish Puppy's on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Sexy Pony is on. Judy Anita is on. Regina Loves Art is on. Mike Griffith is on. Hot Shot Insights is on. Drummer for Jesus is on. Veronica 18201 is on. K4 VMS is on. Dave Souders is on. Jamil Housen is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Swethy is on. Peg Joe is on. Confederate One is on. Milwaukee James is on. Ferris and 77 is on. Scooter 8887 is on. Kev FM 1 is on. Coco Dominguez on. Luann 5 is on. Mobetto 1 is on. Snod Dodd 311 is on. Rafa 9821 is on. Wilbur's Bund 1 is on. Granite 2468 is on. Let me. Jana Jones is on. 50925 McDonald is on. Let me see here. Gloyd Shaw is on. Beckland 60 is on. Grittedom is on. Order in the Court is on. FF2006 is on. Oh man, we got lots of people. A Wethy is on. Allen 6221 is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. All right, let's hop into this. Well, you know what? I'm going to say one thing about the pregame with Elon Musk and Ronald Reagan. That video, it's very interesting, isn't it, that we have 428 federal agencies? I mean, can you imagine? And again, 4 million employees, and not one of us can name one thing the feds ever do for us. I mean, literally, we have 428 federal agencies with $37 trillion in debt, adding another $1 trillion in debt every 90 to 100 days for 428 federal agencies, just added 87,000 IRS agents that Trump, it appears through executive order, is going to defund. But 428 federal agencies, $37 trillion worth of debt, 4 million federal employees that do absolutely nothing. And what happens on Capitol Hill is both Republicans and Democrats absolutely do all that they can to defend this administrative state that does nothing but launch us into debt and tyranny. And I'm talking about Republicans and Democrats. And listen, I'm a die-to-the-wall Republican because I love the Republican platform, but I don't always love Republicans and what they do. Speaking of that, let's go to the next thing. A National File tweet, Mike Johnson's first act. Here we go again. And I understand, you know, like this. There comes a time when you have to fight. And I think Mike Johnson should be thrown out as Speaker of the House. Thrown out. This is a man who has funded Planned Parenthood, funded transgender surgeries, added trillions of dollars to the debt, spent more than even Nancy Pelosi. He spent at a higher rate than Nancy Pelosi. And yet, for some reason, Trump wants to keep him. And again, I love Trump. But it's time to fight this fight. Mike Johnson's got to go. It's too late now. Mike Johnson is the Speaker of the House. I'm just saying that nobody wants to fight these fights because it could cause some delay in things or whatever, you know, delay in appointments or whatever it is, confirmations, or Trump's agenda. This is Trump's agenda. Getting rid of people like Mike Johnson, who are the absolute epitome of the problem, because Mike Johnson talks the part. When he's not in power, he talks the part. He acts the part. He looks like a conservative evangelical Christian, says that he is, and then legislates in the diametric opposite direction. There's no way to argue that Mike Johnson should be the Speaker of the House any more than John Thune should be the Senate Majority Leader. These are both. I mean, again, John Thune and Mike Johnson, but John Thune's official liberty score is 59. I never remember whether it's 51 or 49 because it was between him and John Cornyn, so I can't remember. But let's just say, we'll put it at 50%. So 50% of the time, John Thune, the Senate Majority Leader, voted in by all the people that you and I vote for, only votes 50% of the time with us, and the other 50% of the time votes with Chuck Schumer and Ilhan Omar and Nancy Pelosi. I mean, think about that. That's who these people are. And Mike Johnson is no different, even though he looks like, because he's got a very conservative look with the hair part down the middle, kind of looks like me. Hair parted down the middle, looks like an ex-cop, whatever it may be, and speaks conservative lingo, but legislates as, and not just a Democrat, not just as a liberal, but as a leftist totalitarian. That's how he legislates. I mean, you've heard me talk about this a million times, but the last minibus package, which was $1.7 trillion, it was hundreds of millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood, hundreds of millions of dollars to lop off the penises, testicles, and breasts of minor children. Trans surgeries for prisoners, trans surgeries for illegal migrants. He funded all of it. You're like, well, you have to. It's time for everybody to stop using that lingo. Well, we have to do this for a period of time. Well, when does the period of time actually end? When do we never get to the place where we stop and say we did it for the period of time, but now it's time to stop? But there's never really a period of time to do unrighteous, unholy works. There's never a period of time to sin. Never. But if you are going to make that argument, when does this period of time end? Because now we're $37 trillion in debt. Just remember, in the year 2000, we were less than $1 trillion in debt. And a mere 25 years later, here we are, $37 trillion in debt. Joe Biden himself added $12 trillion over the last 4 years, the 15 days to flatten the curve. And when's it come to an end? And I know what people are saying. This is Trump playing 4D chess. Because Mike Johnson's his patsy and Mike Johnson's political survival depends on him pushing forward the Trump agenda. I get that. But isn't it time for a Thomas Massie to be Speaker of the House? Isn't it time for a Matt Gaetz? I know that he's gone now to be Speaker of the House. Isn't it time for that? Well, they could never get through. You know what? Then you die on that hill. Because what's the point? And I say this all the time. What's the point? You say, well, we won and we have our person as Speaker. But if your person, a Republican, is Speaker but legislates as a leftist totalitarian, then isn't it better just to lose to the Democrats because that's what you get anyway? If you're gonna be like, well, this is an electable human being, this is a guy or girl that's electable, and he gets elected, and you're like, oh, we win, we got a Speaker confirmed, but the person legislates as a leftist totalitarian, you're better off with Hakeem Jeffries being the Speaker because it's one and the same. It makes sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. What's the difference? So Mike Johnson's National File tweet, Mike Johnson's first act as U.S. House Speaker in the 119th Congress, adopt Nancy Pelosi's House rule. What a shock. Here's Mike again legislating as Nancy Pelosi. Tom, it makes you against Trump to be against Mike Johnson. No, it doesn't. I'm not a Trump sycophant. I spoke out vehemently against Donald Trump with 15 days to flatten the curve, which he extenuated to 60 days to flatten the curve. Okay? I'll speak out anything that's untrue. I voted for Trump 3 times now. I'm voting for J.D. Vance in 4 years. I'm just saying that when you're wrong, you're wrong. And this fight needed to be fought. And Mike Johnson needed to go. We need a legitimate conservative in there. A legit conservative. And the very first thing he does is adopt Nancy Pelosi's House rule for motion to vacate. And Speaker Johnson took Nancy's rule and made it worse, just like he spent more than Nancy. He spent more on transgender surgeries than Nancy. You're like, how can that be as a conservative? Because he's not. He's a fungible little worm who will do whatever it takes. When it's time for him to go back to Louisiana and campaign, he's hyper-conservative. And then he comes back to Washington. And then he's a reasonable cocktail circuit Republican. You get to be the Republican in the room, Mikey. It is when you're a Republican in the room, don't worry. We'll let you do some Republican things because that's the whole cocktail circuit. That's the traveling roadshow of Washington, D.C., of faux synergistic tension, of everybody pretending that there's a political war. No, there's no political war in Washington, D.C. It's all the leftist, the globalist, totalitarian agenda being ushered forward by both parties. And the Republicans are there to make it more palatable to people like you and me. That's it. And I'm not there's legit Republicans like Marjorie Taylor Greene. You agree with her every single time. But she's a legit conservative and votes her way even out of office. But all Mike Johnson does is, well, you know what? He campaigns as a right winger in Louisiana. Then he goes back and legislates as a leftist totalitarian in Washington, D.C., because that's what he's told to do. Is he honeypotted? Is he extorted? I don't know what his problem is. But he certainly doesn't legislate as a Republican. He's told, Mikey, we're going to allow you to be the Republican in the show. And you know what? To be a Republican in the show, you get to pass some Republican things. They never actually take root. They never actually become policy. But we let you pass some Republican things so you look Republican. Because how come we haven't, if we've owned the House and we've owned the Senate and we've owned the presidency, why is our country listed hardcore left? Because for all intents and purposes, since 2000, we've owned the House, we've owned the Senate just as much as the Democrats have. We've owned the presidency just as much as the Democrats have, but we've listed hardcore left. Why? Because of people like Mike Johnson. Because he's told, Mike, we're going to let you be the token Republican, controlled opposition, and we're going to let you pass some Republican things. But, you know, when push comes to shove, make sure that you legislate as a leftist undercover. So Speaker Johnson took Nancy's rule and made it worse. Thomas Jefferson's rule, it takes one member to basically remove the Speaker of the House. Nancy Pelosi upped it to where it took five members. How are these people able to pass this? If Thomas Jefferson said one member to file to remove the Speaker, then why have we changed that? Shouldn't we be listening to Thomas Jefferson more so than San Francisco leftard moron Nancy Pelosi? But Nancy Pelosi moves it to where it took five members to basically impeach her. Mike Johnson moved it to nine members to get rid of him. There's the order on the bottom. So legislating again like a totalitarian where it takes nine members of Congress, nine members of his own party to remove him as Speaker. So here, that's Mike Johnson's first act as Speaker of the House. Let's go to the next one. Greg Price video. I have to show you this. This was in the pregame. You guys can run these videos, one right after the other consecutively. Greg Price video, Hakeem Jeffries. We have no election deniers on our side. Play for me, Brent.
Thank you for that very generous applause. It's okay. There are no election deniers on our side of the aisle.
See? John Lewis is completely right. There is a cloud of illegitimacy around the election of Donald Trump. The Russians interfered with his election. James Comey and the FBI interfered with his election. The fake news industry interfered with his election.
I have a video, and there's a video on Twitter of 24 straight minutes of Democrats denying elections, trying to remove electors and doing everything that they accuse us of doing, which, by the way, is your right. You're allowed to deny an election. Now, has Donald Trump been prosecuted for that under Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade and Jack Smith in both federal and local court jurisdictions? Yes, yes, but that's completely erroneous charges. They're charges that don't exist. You're allowed to deny an election. If I want to say I don't believe that Hussein Obama's elected twice, I have a right to do that. If I actually try to insurrect the government using armed force, then yeah, then it's a crime. But I'm allowed to say I deny the election. I mean, I don't believe Joe Biden was ever legitimate. It's so funny to hear Democrats about Joe Biden in 2020. They come out now in the 2024 election. Well, that's because 18 million less people voted. Basically, what happens is every single election, you can put it this way, about 120 million Americans vote out of about what I believe is 400 million people that live here, some illegals, many illegals. So about 100, you get 60 million each. Really, that's it. And then suddenly, Joe Biden gets 84 million votes. Suddenly, he gets 84 million votes, 18 million more than normal. Because Hussein won with 68 million and 64 million, I believe. So suddenly, Joe Biden gets 18 million. And imagine being so devoid of integrity and honesty that you as a Democrat will say that you think that election is legitimate when 18 million more people voted in our first massive mail-in, predominantly mail-in election because it was too dangerous to go and vote because of the deadly plague, right? I mean, imagine just being able to walk up to any podium or have any discussion where you're saying as a Democrat, you know, we lost because so so many less people showed up for the election. 18 million? You don't think that was mass voter fraud brought in by mass mail-in balloting? So I'm allowed to say those things. And Democrats, I'd have no problem with it. Hillary Clinton and Stacey Abrams are both still saying that they were the rightly elected president and governor of Georgia. To this day. To this day. And Akeem Jeffries, imagine having the audacity. I mean, it's just, it's. I don't get it. You and I can't do it because we actually have a soul and we have a conscience that was given to us in Romans 1:18 through 32 from God. So we couldn't walk up to a podium, you know, up to the podium in Congress and say, nobody in our party is an election denier when he himself is an election denier. You and I would never have the disingenuous audacity to do that, but they do because nothing registers with them. When you are a psychopath, you're not embarrassed. That's who these people are. They have absolutely no soul. They're psychopathic people. They're pathological liars, and it doesn't bother them just to go up there and bold-faced lie and say, we have no election deniers. It's all they do is election deny. All right, let's go to the next thing here. Here's what's going on with Trump. He's supposed to show up for sentencing. Can you believe this? In New York City. Why does Juan Merchan want to sentence Donald Trump on January 10th? What is today, Aaron? The 4th?
It is the 3rd.
3rd. So 7 days from now, 1 week from today. Why does he want it? So next Friday. Why does he want to do that? Because until he's sentenced in those 34 felony convictions, he's not a convicted felon. Until you're sentenced, you're not officially a convicted felon. So they want to sentence him. So Juan Merchan, who's not even a judge, and I've got the older millennial has a great dissertation I'm going to play for you in just a second, but Juan Merchan is not even a judge. He's an acting judge. Whenever they have trials of this level in New York City, they have a 24-judge pool, which they raffle the judge to see who is going to preside over the case. They basically pull the names out of a hat. They put 24 names in a hat and they pull it so they can have at least the appearance of randomness and unbiasedness, right? But Juan Merchan, who's not even a judge, so A, Juan Merchan isn't a judge. He's an acting judge. Number two, he is not in the 24-judge pool to be selected. So how did he get selected to Trump's case, Bannon's case, and Trump's other case with another Trump surrogate? How did that happen? Juan Merchan, every single time Trump's involved, he's the judge. While his daughter rakes in hundreds of millions of dollars in Democratic Party donations for her basically pseudo Act Blue organization. So here's Charlie Kirk video. It's actually also Fox News. Judge Merchan wants to sentence Trump on January 10th. Play for me, Brent.
Court's going to want to see what he rules. Because if he comes down with a sentence that doesn't bind the president, then a lot of the constitutional problems fade away.
So you expect that we will see the sentencing go through. We will see a sentence.
Yeah, they may well appeal this, but the odds are always in favor of trial judges and holding these hearings. The appellate courts like to see sentences finalized so that they can review the case and the sentence.
Jonathan Turley, thank you so much. That is the story.
So for the reasons stated, Juan Merchan wants to make sure that he sentences Donald Trump so that everybody can finally say he's a convicted felon. And again, I hate to go over this again, but just in case there's people that think that Donald Trump was found guilty for giving hush money payments to Stormy Daniels, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. Basically, Donald Trump, according to this charging document, checked the wrong box. That's it. And how they ended up manipulating 34 felony counts out of one quote-unquote misallocation of funds is beyond me, but they did. So what it is very simple. What Donald Trump did was gave $130,000 to Stormy Daniels. According to some testimony, he didn't even know he did it. Because basically, when you're Donald Trump and you're worth $8 to $10 billion, and people are coming to you every day giving you, Donald Trump sleeps 3 hours a day. So for 21 hours a day, he's got papers coming across his desk, and he's signing them. According to Michael Avenatti, who was Stormy Daniels' attorney, the person actually having the illicit sexual affair with Stormy Daniels was Donald Trump's attorney, Michael Cohen. And Michael Cohen, as a favor to Stormy Daniels, hey, you know what? I need to give you a check for sexual favors for $130,000. And he orchestrated this payment. And Trump may not even have known that he ever wrote the check. But what Alvin Bragg, Matthew Colangelo, remember Matthew Colangelo, third in charge of the DOJ, even though, you know, of course, the DOJ is unbiased and is not involved in local jurisdictional prosecutions. Of course, right, of course. But they dispatched the third in charge of the DOJ, Matthew Colangelo, to go down and partner with Alvin Bragg. Alvin Bragg, who had already turned down the case. The U.S. attorney in New York had already, and this is not Alvin Bragg. Alvin Bragg is the local prosecutor for New York City. And then you have the U.S. attorney in New York City also turned down the case. The DOJ turned down the case. But then they go to Alvin Bragg because he's Twinkies and a mindless idiot. They dispatch Matthew Colangelo to him and have him reinvigorate the case. And all it is what they're saying is that Donald Trump should have allocated those funds as instead of personal legal expenses, it should have been a campaign finance expenditure. That's what they're charging him with. That him giving $130,000 should have been a campaign finance expenditure. So if we go back to the $17 million that's been paid out for congressional members for their sexual offenses, those are taxpayer dollars. None of them listed those as a campaign offense. I mean, a campaign expense, did they? $17 million of our money has been paid out to victims of Congress for their sexual offenses. None of them ever put that down as a, this is credit Thomas Massie, none of them ever put that down as a campaign finance expenditure. Donald Trump does the same thing, but it's his own money. Don't you have the right to pay off a porn star if you want to? You do. Unless it's a criminal trial where you are tampering with a witness, you can pay off a porn star. You can. And even if Donald Trump did know and he paid off, he has every right to. And would anybody put that down as a campaign finance expenditure? No. And if he did put it down as a campaign finance expenditure, they would have prosecuted him for violating federal campaign finance laws. And you, as a Democrat, how do you live with yourself knowing that this is exactly what happened and you rejoice in the non-fact that Donald Trump is a convicted felon? All right, so this is a Wall Street Apes video, but it's the older millennial speaking. Here's the older millennial on Juan Merchan. Play for me.
You understand there's absolutely no reason that Judge Merchan should have even had a chance to be assigned to this case? Now, I'm sure the left is just going to call this a conspiracy theory, so I'll issue a challenge to them, and maybe they can tell me how he managed to be the judge. Because for these type of cases, the way it's supposed to work is that there is a panel of 24 judges, and they are all put in rotation and randomly assigned these types of cases. Judge Merchan is not on that panel. That's because he's not a judge, he's an acting judge. So even though they're trying to claim that they didn't pick the judge, that it was randomly assigned, that's not possible because Judge Merchan isn't in the pool to be randomly assigned. So the only way he could have caught this case was to be specifically assigned to it. There was no chance of him being randomly selected. And the wild thing is that according to the left and the Department of Justice, Judge Merchan was not only randomly selected to be the judge in this trial, but he was also randomly selected to be the judge in the Trump Organization case, and he was randomly selected to be the judge in the Steve Bannon case. So Judge Merchan, a judge that is not in the pool of 24 judges that is supposed to catch these cases, a judge that is not an actual judge but an acting judge, caught all three Trump-related cases. Randomly. This is a judge who gives heavily to an organization very plainly named Stop Trump, and a judge whose daughter makes tens of millions of dollars every year promoting Democrats. But yeah, I'm sure this was just a coincidence. It was a coincidence that one of the most high-profile cases ever, we didn't assign a judge, we assigned an acting judge, and that judge somehow got selected even though he wasn't in the pool of judges available to be selected, and that same judge that was selected also caught two other Trump-related cases in the same year, and then that judge's daughter makes tens of millions of dollars a year promoting Democrats. Yeah, I'm sure that's all a coincidence.
One.
So there's no more use. I mean, that's a great summation right now. We've already talked about it. Let's go to the next thing. Jack Mack video. Congrats to Nancy Pelosi on outperforming every hedge fund in 2024. Play for me.
I give a special congratulations to Nancy Pelosi.
In the year 2024, her personal stock portfolio outperformed the biggest and best hedge funds across America. Here are some of the best returns for hedge fund portfolios throughout the country. The highest was 36.1%. Nancy defeated all of those hedge funds by a solid amount, as her return on her personal stock portfolio was 54%. Crazy, considering this is not even her main job. Here's a look at her portfolio from Autopilot, who just pretty much keeps an eye on her portfolio throughout all of her trades as they are public. But yes, what a year for Nancy Pelosi. Surely this was done all ethically. If you're not doing Dry January, have a drink for Nancy Pelosi tonight, because she certainly will be as well.
So the professional, the best of the best hedge fund, the people that actually administrate hedge fund operators, the best they could do was 43%. They increased 43%. Nancy Pelosi outperformed them by 11% to 54% profit. The best of the best, the people who actually run the hedge funds, the hedge fund administrators, 43% increase in profits. Nancy Pelosi somehow, and we all know she's an ignoramus, somehow actually outperforms them by 11% and actually increased her wealth by 54% in 2024. Her stock wealth. Amazing, isn't it? Truly amazing. It's almost as if she has information that even the hedge fund administrators don't have. Kind of weird, isn't it? And see, like, it's all a matter. It's the same thing even with, like, Mike Johnson. Listen, I think Mike Johnson is going to be Trump's patsy, and he's going to do whatever Trump tells him to do. And I think it'll work out okay. I still think you need to fight the fight. He's not a good person. Everyone needs to stop with, he's electable. If we didn't elect him, then we'd end up with this or that. No, you have to fight the fight. Eventually, you cannot keep settling. You just can't keep settling. You have to fight, or you keep losing ground. And eventually, when you lose ground, your country goes bankrupt or gets conquered. It's the same thing with Nancy Pelosi. Somebody's going to have to look into this. And you're going to be called names. And you're going to be called corrupt. And you're going to be called a Nazi. You'd look into it anyway. Because there's no way that an incompetent buffoon like Nancy and Paul Pelosi can turn a couple hundred grand a year salary, if that, into hundreds of millions of dollars when none of the rest of us have been able to do so, including even hedge fund professionals. All right, finally, let's move to Vegas. Mario Nafal video, Las Vegas police found two letters in the Cybertruck. Let me set this up before we go. Now, before we start on Vegas. Now, I have everybody thinking, you know where I stand on it. People are saying, this guy, it's another McVeigh situation. Do I believe that Tim McVeigh carried out the Oklahoma bombing in the way that they said? No, not remotely so, if he was even there. Now, people are saying that this is another one of those situations with Matthew Leibelsberger, who is this alleged, now, according to family, Delta Force operator, obviously in Fort Bragg, all those different things. And they're saying that he was a good guy. Well, yes, there is an opinion that he was a good guy and that he somehow didn't do this. Okay, well, we're going to look into this now. Did he do it? Did he not? Okay, we all need to recognize that, first of all the video footage does show him driving the vehicle. Would we all agree to that? Because here's the thing, even good people go bad. And we need to, like, is it possible that this is a psyop and he was controlled via drugs or via weaponry that we don't know? Yes, everything's possible. I mean, I used to be like, absolutely not, until you actually look into the impeachment of Richard Nixon, which was a complete hoax. Pearl Harbor, complete hoax. Oklahoma City bombing, complete hoax. COVID, complete hoax. Climate change, complete hoax. COVID vaccine, complete hoax. Vaccines all around, complete hoaxes. So yeah, you have to look at all the possibilities, but you also have to look at, was this an attack on Donald Trump by an alleged Trump supporter? Well, don't you keep your friends closer, your enemies closer? Aren't there people within our ranks that are actually our enemies, like Mike Johnson? Aren't there? So isn't that possible? But anyway, So let's deep dive into this, and we'll look at these various opinions. Mario Nafal video. Las Vegas police found two letters in the Cybertruck. Play for me.
Were important to share for now. One is in the note application. He seemed to have two letters. One letter in particular, as you can see here, this is an excerpt from that letter. He says, fellow service members, veterans, and all Americans, time to wake up. We are being led by weak and feckless leadership who only serve to enrich themselves. He goes on to explain a variety of other grievances and issues, some political, some personal, a variety of other things, which we will do our best to release very quickly here. But then there's a second letter where there's some more excerpts. This one seems to be dated after the fact in that notes application. And in there, you can read a couple of the excerpts. We are the United States of America, the best country, people to ever exist. But right now, we are terminally ill and headed towards collapse. This was not a terrorist attack. It was a wake-up call. Americans only pay attention to spectacles and violence. What better way to get my point across than a stunt with fireworks and explosives? Why did I personally do it now? I need to cleanse my mind of the brothers I've lost and relieve myself of the burden of the lives I took. I'd like to just also expand on that and understand that these are just excerpts in there. He does offer additional information that is varying on the spectrum in terms of political grievances, issues about the conflicts elsewhere, not here, domestic issues, societal issues, a variety of other things, including personal challenges as well.
One.
I see some of you talking about it in the chat. It's very suspicious that when you had a flame that hot, that these letters survived on paper. That's kind of weird, right? I mean, so again, you have to look at it. You have to look at it from all angles. Does anybody know anything at this time? No. Nobody knows anything. Now, here, of course, is the viral video that's gone out. It's a summation of it. It's longer than this, but this is the viral video. Benny Johnson video from the Sean Ryan Show. Sam Shumate revealed the Las Vegas Cybertruck bomber emailed him before the attack. Play for me.
Do you want to read the email?
Yep. So this email came in on December 31st at 10:42 a.m. That is Tuesday. He said, in case I do not make it to my decision point or onto the Mexico border, I am sending this now. Please do not release this until 1 January and keep my identity private until then. First off, I am not under duress or hostile influence or control. My first car was a 2006 Black Ford Mustang V6 for verification. What we have been seeing with drones, he puts that in quotes. He says drones is the operational use of gravitic propulsion systems powered aircraft by most recently China and the East Coast, but throughout history, the U.S. Only we in China have this capability. Our OPSEN, that's Operation Center, our OPSEN location for this activity is in the box below. China has been launching them from the Atlantic from submarines for years, but this activity recently has picked up. As of now, it is just a show of force, and they are using it similar to how they use the balloon for SIGINT and ISR, which are also part of the integrated comm system. There are dozens of those balloons in the air at any given time. The so what is because of the speed and stealth of these unmanned aircraft. They are the most dangerous threat to national security that has ever existed. They basically have an unlimited payload capacity and can park it over the White House if they wanted. It's checkmate. U.S. government needs to give the history of this, how we are employing it and weaponizing it, how China is employing them and what the way forward is. China is poised to attack anywhere in the East Coast. I've been followed for over a week now from likely Homeland or FBI, and they are looking to move on me and are unlikely going to let me cross into Mexico, but won't because they know I am armed and I have a massive V-bid. Let me pause right there for a second. So he says a massive V-bid. When I was talking to the FBI yesterday, they didn't know what a V-bid was. I had to explain what that acronym meant, literally.
You serious?
Dead serious. I said it twice, and he goes, you said that word V-bid. Can you tell me what that is? For your audience, a V-bid, for your audience who has not been in the GWAT for the last 20 years, a V-bid is a vehicle-borne improvised explosive device, in layman's terms, a car bomb, what we saw at Trump Tower. So backing up, he says, I am armed and have a massive V-bid. I've been trying to maintain a very visible profile and have kept my phone, and they are definitely digitally tracking me. Here's where he gets into the other stuff, and this is where we had to redact the names. Well, your producer redacted the names. I have knowledge of this program and also war crimes that were covered up during airstrikes in Nimruz province, Afghanistan in 2019 by the admin, DOD, DEA, and CIA. I conducted targeting for these strikes of over 125 buildings. 65 were struck because of CIVCAS, that's civilian casualties, that killed hundreds of civilians in a single day. U.S. FORA continued strikes after spotting civilians on initial ISR. It was supposed to take 6 minutes and scramble all aircraft in CENTCOM. The U.N. basically called these war crimes, but the administration made them disappear. I was part of that cover-up with U.S. FORA, an agent, redacted, of the DEA. So I don't know if my abduction attempt is related to either. I worked with redacted IO staff on this as well as the response to Bala Murghab. Redacted commander at the time, redacted, can validate this. You need to elevate this to the media so we avoid a world war because this is a mutually assured destruction situation. Then he says, for vetting, my LinkedIn is Matt Berg or Matthew Livelsberger, an active duty 18 Zulu out of 110, that's 1st Battalion 10th Special Forces Group. My profile is public. I have an active TSSCI with UAP, USAP access.
What is USAP? Do you know what that is?
I don't know what that is. But I checked his credentials on LinkedIn. So that was the first thing I did. I went to his LinkedIn page. First thing I noticed was all of his bona fides were in place. He has all the UAS training from USASOC and everything else. And so I said, okay, at least the guy knows what he's talking about with drones. That was a very rough dig into the guy. But my issue was I couldn't validate or verify any of this information. And I told him that. And how I responded to him was in a subsequent email. I said, this is obviously a very big deal, but I don't have anything to verify this information with. Talking about gravitic propulsion systems without evidence just makes me another UFO talking head. Like, I'm not going to go on my social media page and start talking about UFOs and anti-gravity systems and everything. I don't know what you're talking about. I can't. And he said, can I get on Fox News Contact on Signal as well as Sean's show? Hegseth would be good too. That was his last message to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, what is a gravitic propulsion system?
To be honest.
Behind you.
Kevin Nyes with NBC News. How would you describe his state of mind in these final days, given everything that you read from his notes app and the manifesto that you see, that you referenced going around in the podcast? Have you guys been able to rule out that it was not for him, or is it still up in the air that it could have been for him?
So the question is, how would I describe his state of mind in the manifesto that was described on the podcast? Have we been able to determine whether that was from him or not? And I'll answer the first part is, I'm not comfortable giving you state of mind just yet. I certainly am leaning a particular way, but again, I'd like to be factual to you. I think when you read the documents that we're going to give you a link to at the end of this press conference, that you can go in and make some of your own assumptions about what that is. But I will tell you that part of my hesitation on that is, I know that we have a lot more documents and number of things for us to uncover. And so I want to be able to provide to you only the factual information when I have it. And so I'm not going to opine on what I believe his state of mind was at that particular time. But certainly you can see some troubling aspects in his personal life as well. And I don't know if you want to address the second part, Spencer.
Yeah, so in terms of the so-called manifesto that's circulating online, we have strong evidence to suggest that it was the subject that wrote it, but we haven't conclusively proven that yet. And that evidence relates to other evidence that we're finding that we're able to compare that lead us to believe it was, in fact, him who sent it.
One.
All right, so let's look at this from a couple angles here. Let's say, first of all, this was Aaron. Aaron said this, and you guys can jump in on this seriously, like jump in, because it'll help me to look at the different angles instead of getting locked in on just one. But he was shot prior to going to Trump Tower, because he never said any of his emails that he was going, any of his communications that he was going to Trump Tower to detonate his VBID, his vehicle-borne improvised explosive device. Everybody got VBID, right? So I don't have to keep saying it over and over again. He never said that he was going to Trump Tower to do that. He said he was trying to get to Mexico. So Aaron said maybe he was shot prior to that, and he has all of this knowledge that he could expose as a whistleblower, which is what Alex Jones is alleging, that he's a whistleblower, and he's been chased around for a while, and they didn't try to take his vehicle because he could cause the vehicle to explode at any time. He is an ordnance expert. He knows how he could have blown up all of Trump Tower. So we have to look at this. If he really wanted to hurt Trump, he could have taken out Trump Tower. He has that level of expertise. This is a Delta Force operator. This is a guy who knows plenty, knows well enough about explosive ordnance to take down Trump Tower. So did somebody kill him and then somehow remotely drive the vehicle there? But Brent added that Tesla has released that the vehicle is never put into remote mode. But is there a way, if you're a tech genius, to obfuscate that? I don't know. So is this guy a good guy? Well, we do know that, and this is from Brent also, we had the track last night from the FBI, but the video footage has come out. He did definitively go and charge his vehicle on his way to Vegas. So he was driving to Vegas on purpose. Unless there's some sort of mind control operation going on, a Havana syndrome type of deal going on here, he did purposely drive his vehicle to Vegas. And he did, according to his own email, like if you say that he's a good guy and had nothing to do with this, then why? And then you say that was his email that was sent to Sam Shumate, and that Sam Shumate was the one talking to Sean Ryan. Then if you say that he's just a good guy, then why did he create his VBID, Vehicle Born Improvised Explosive Device? He made his vehicle a bomb, a car bomb. So if he's a good guy, why did he do that? I don't know. Or as Aaron and I were discussing, is it all just multi-layered and almost impossible to figure out because there's a nefarious motive behind it? I don't know. But we do know that a device was detonated in front of Trump Tower. And why was that? It has to be anti-Trump, but was Matthew Levensberger, who was an Alex Jones connoisseur, a Delta Force operator, but in the email, he was disavowing a lot of his military service. And then Aaron said this, this is why, you know, it's good to have other people around. Did he really write the email? The FBI says that he did. I mean, Sam Shumate seems to be a good guy on Sean Ryan's show, but did he really write it? Or is this the FBI already writing this stuff prior to the terrorist attack? And are these guys who all out of Fort Bragg, where they were at Fort Bragg at the same time, the two bombers slash terrorists, if we want to call them that at this point, Matthew Levensberger and Shamsud Dinjabar, both of them Army soldiers. But it's awfully hard to think that Jabbar was controlled by anybody because they went back and because the FBI is incompetent. The FBI was allowing a citizen journalist in the guy's home yesterday. Did you see that woman walking around on Twitter? And they had all this Islamic stuff up. But again, is that what the FBI wants us to see?
Right.
Because they let her in the house. Because Thomas Crooks, at his home, there was no silverware in his home. No. How do you live there with no silverware? And his dad retains a very high-priced attorney, probably paid for by the feds from some NGO. But, do I think that Matthew Levensberger is evil? The bottom line is nobody knows. This is from Jay Anderson's Twitter feed. Key claims from the manifesto, from the email. Gravitic propulsion technology and Chinese threat. The manifesto alleges that both the United States and China possess highly classified propulsion systems. Oh, could that be? And I don't know. Listen, I know a lot of you, and I love each and every one of you, even those of you that are flat earthers and everything else. And you believe in, like, you know, ET and UFOs and everything else. It's not in the Bible. I don't believe it, just so you know. But those weird, if you want to call them devices or UFOs, unidentified flying objects, and we're seeing that are able to enter into the sea at supersonic speed, hypersonic speed, and come out of the sea and do all those things. Is that what we're talking about here? These highly classified propulsion systems that we're calling UFOs? I know everyone wants to be excited about it, but is it just military technology? Folks, the answer is yes. Listen, if there was going to be an ET landing, don't you think it would happen by now? I mean, I hate to ruin some. I mean, listen, I love each and every one of you. I really do. But if Jesus never said that there's ET and there's extraterrestrials, then there isn't. And I know some of you will try to spin Bible verses, okay? The only Bible verses that you could possibly spin are giants in the land. Those were all angels, folks. You just read your Bible. Don't listen to people tell you about the Bible. Read it for yourself. It's very simple. So the manifesto alleges that both the United States and China possess highly classified propulsion systems capable of defying conventional physics. All right, so that's one of the allegations. Matthews claims China has been launching these drones from submarines in the Atlantic. That makes sense. Well, because where were these submarines flying into New Jersey 50 a night, coming from nowhere? And the Biden administration shows no interest in it at all. Just like for 8 long days, a blimp, for all intents and purposes, a blimp flew over the United States taking pictures of our nuclear missile silos and transmitting them live back to Beijing. And Biden didn't give a crap because Biden's being extorted by the CCP. Extorted via, we will expose all the money we've given you. We will expose all, because China is very deeply tied into Volodymyr Zelensky in Ukraine. And we will expose you in Privat Bank. We will expose you with Metabiota. We will expose you with Burisma. We'll expose you. And the $1.4 billion secured by Hunter Biden in 2014 for his banking consultancy fees when Hunter and Joe flew over together on Air Force Two. We'll expose you for those things. Probably a lot of honeypot stuff with Hunter also, with Russian prostitutes. So China's got Joe Biden over a barrel. Joe doesn't care. I mean, he could care less. As long as he can live it, go out and stroll down to the beach every day at Rehoboth Beach, he doesn't give a crap at all. He honestly doesn't care. Most Democrats never think any more than 2 inches in front of their face. How can I get rich even if it destroys the country? Even as long as I'm rich, I'm good. The problem is that if you destroy the economic system, you're no longer rich. If you destroy our national security, Rehoboth Beach will be, you'll be in a concentration camp and your Rehoboth Beach mansion will be owned by Xi Jinping. He'll be there vacationing every day, probably with Jill. So Matthew claims China's been launching these drones from submarines in the Atlantic and suggests that they represent the greatest threat to U.S. national security ever encountered. He warned, which makes sense because nobody had any idea 50 a night were flying in from the pitch black darkness of the Atlantic Ocean. And then the Biden administration never even looked into it. Have you heard about Aaron, Brent? Have you guys heard into them looking into it recently?
Nope.
We ever find out where they came from? Nope. No, it's just disappeared. Isn't it strange? It's all disappeared from the headlines. Because here we have these terrorist attacks. That's weird. Isn't that weird that we're now all distracted off of a possible foreign invasion? Isn't that weird? Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird. Now we're all looking at this attack in New Orleans. Alex Jones predicts all this stuff. Alex Jones is just fantastic on this stuff. He warns that these unmanned aircraft have unlimited payload capacity and are capable of reaching the White House undetected. It's checkmate, he writes, describing the current situation as a perilous game of brinkmanship between the two superpowers. Again, this is Matthew Leibelsberger's email that he sent to Sam Shumate, which has been, again, verified by the FBI that it did, in fact, come from Matthew Leibelsberger. But anything verified by the FBI means that, because if they verify it, that means it benefits the FBI. And by benefiting the FBI, it benefits the globalist leftist bourgeois elitist in the Democratic Party. Because that's what the FBI is, nothing more than the brown shirt Gestapo for the Democratic Party. Number two, surveillance balloons and espionage. Matthew draws connections between recent incidences involving surveillance balloons and a larger integrated communications and reconnaissance system. Number three, FBI and Homeland Security pursuit. The manifesto reveals that Matthew has been on the run for over a week, allegedly tracked by federal agencies, including the FBI and Homeland Security. And again, Alex Jones says, this is a whistleblower. This is a good guy. But if you believe his email to Sam Shumate, he admits that he made his car an improvised explosive device. So how good could you be? Or is he defending himself against the FBI? I mean, it is right out of a movie. And then somehow that vehicle ends up at Trump Tower, which is very convenient. Because here we are, me and you and everybody else, talking about it. And we're not talking about the foreign invasion that's going on, drones that are currently flying over New Jersey right now that everybody's forgotten about. And the 100,000 CCP soldiers that have crossed through the southern border. There, nobody can confirm that they're soldiers, Tom. Well, I'll tell you what. Verify that they're not.
Right.
Let's do that. The manifesto reveals that Matthew has been on the run for over a week, allegedly tracked by federal agencies, including the FBI and Homeland Security. Alejandro Mayorkas is involved once again. He expresses frustration at being unable to flee to Mexico and claims that authorities were unaware of his intent to deploy his massive, to deploy a massive V-bid. He claims that authorities were aware of his intent. So he says that he had intent to explode this vehicle-borne improvised explosive device. So is he a good guy? If you believe the email, then he can't be a good guy. Would that make sense? Because he plans on deploying this thing. But, well, maybe he would be a good guy if he deployed it in a way that was just symbolic. I don't know. I've been followed for over a week, Matthew writes. They know I am armed and have a massive V-bid. Number four, war crimes, only five. War crimes cover up in Afghanistan. Accusations that the U.S. government covered up war crimes committed during a 2019 airstrike, which is under Trump, by the way, in Nimruz province, Afghanistan. Matthew claims to have been directly involved in the targeting process for these airstrikes, which allegedly destroyed over 125 buildings and resulted in hundreds of civilian casualties. He accuses the Department of Defense, Drug Enforcement Agency, and Central Intelligence Agency of covering up the incident and continuing to launch strikes despite the presence of civilians on the ground. The UN basically called these war crimes, the manifesto states, but the administration made them disappear. That would be the Trump administration. That he explodes this thing, potentially exploded it in front of Trump Tower. Mutually assured destruction scenario. In a chilling conclusion, Matthew warns of an impending war in his writing if his warnings are not heeded. So there you go. What are the conclusions? It's almost like right now, it's almost like end times prophecy. If you claim that you know, you're making a mistake.
Right.
You don't know. Do I know that Matthew Leibelsberger was a bad guy? No. Because I don't believe anything anymore. Because according to Anthony Fauci, you and I are bad guys. And now this guy's a bad guy. And this guy has this sterling record. Let me show you this video. Inside Edition video, believe it or not. Yeah, Inside Edition from TV. Las Vegas Cybertruck blast suspect Matthew Leifelsberger took part in a military TV reality competition on the History Channel. Play for me.
It's a reality show that pits teams of elite soldiers from around the world against each other.
Matt and Tim from the U.S. Army Special Forces, better known as the Green Berets.
Matthew Leifelsberger and his partner Tim Kelly, both Green Berets, appeared on the Ultimate Soldier Challenge 12 years ago on the History Channel. They not only won, it wasn't even close.
You know, for television, they always try to make it a little bit more competitive, but we swept the whole entire show.
When he appeared on the show, Leifelsberger used a shortened version of his name, Matt Bird. So it took Tim Kelly a while to put two and two together.
And then I saw a Matt Berg with a older photo of him, and I was like, oh no, dude, I know that guy. And then it just like tore my heart out because he was a really great Green Beret.
And what was he like?
He was charming. He was talented. He was personable. He was kind. He was all the things that you would expect from a Green Beret.
At one point during the show, Leifelsberger lost his cool in the 90-plus degree heat.
I'm about to throw up, man. I got heat exhaustion, man. I need to take this off right now.
Tim Kelly says he hadn't heard from Leifelsberger for a few years.
It just categorically does not make sense. From everything that I have heard, he was universally valued by his team, by his peers. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense, and it is just horrifically heartbreaking.
All right, here we go. So there you go. Is this guy a bad guy? It's hard to believe that he is. You know, the more I look into it, the more I list heavily towards where Alex Jones is at. And since Alex Jones is right about 98% of the time legitimately, it's hard to disagree with him. And Alex Jones doesn't think that Jabbar necessarily is what they said he was either. That it may have been a training op that they say is a training op and then remotely take over the vehicle, run over people. They put the jihadist flag up there as part of the training op. And then and you're like, Tom, this is really conspiratorial. I know it's all conspiratorial, but who are we going to believe? The FBI? The FBI is running these investigations. We're going to believe them? The FBI, who has committed lawfare and multiple thousands of felonies themselves over the last 4 years and 15 days to flatten the curve? We're going to believe these guys who are putting people in prison under the FACE Act, who are going after MAGA supporters instead of actual terrorists? We're going to believe them and then lie about them? I know you look at just J6 alone and the lies from the FBI. We're going to believe the FBI when they say that these people are bad and that none of this could ever happen? And by the way, and I don't mean to make this all about Alex Jones, but Alex Jones said this is exactly what's going to happen in the 76 days leading up to the Trump inauguration. They're going to be these false flag terrorist events. And then lo and behold, the FBI allowed this. Listen, folks, you need to understand. I've got another cop in the room. I'm a cop. I was a cop for 25 years, 1992, 2017, 25 years. Nobody lets in a civilian reporter into the home of the suspect on the day of the event. But the FBI did. The FBI, if you've seen the girl, she's in there with yoga pants on, videoing, does a pretty good job. Videoing Jabbar's house, and lo and behold, of course, there's a Quran there. It's all set up perfectly. And the FBI lets you in there. It's kind of weird, isn't it? That they just let you do those things. And most of the time, all of their social media is covered up or deleted by the FBI. But in this situation, we're allowed to see their social media posts that go along with or support the FBI's supposition about what happened or the FBI's propaganda about what happened. I mean, the FBI is as corrupt as the KGB, is as corrupt as the Gestapo. That's how corrupt Christopher Wray's FBI is. And we're going to believe them. Now, am I saying that definitively Leibelsberger is a good guy? No. Listen, he was in the car. Of course, nobody, I mean, is anybody really proven that it's him in the car? I don't know. They say that it's him. And do I say that Leibelsberger and Jabbar are good guys? No. But I don't believe anything anymore because all we ever hear are lies. Let me deep dive for the next couple minutes into Islam because obviously Jabbar was Islamic according to what the information that we've got so far about the event. Listen, Tom, do you hate Islam? Yes. Does that mean that I hate Muslims? No. I hate, as I said last night, I hate the sin, I hate the idolatry, but I don't hate the person. As a Christian, I've got to try to win these souls from Islam into Christianity. Because the problem with Islam is nobody died for your sins. So you can be as religious as you want, pray however many times a day, do the Islamic call to prayer, make your voyage to Mecca, do all those different things, you're still going to die and go straight to hell, and there ain't no virgins there waiting for you. The only thing that's waiting for you is a worm-ridden sulfur and brimstone hell. That's it. That's a fact. And that goes for every fake Christian, too. For every Catholic who's not saved. For every Pentecostal who's not legitimately saved. For every Foundation Church member. That's the church that I pastor that's not legitimately saved. I don't show any favoritism. God is no respecter of persons, so I'm not either. If Donald Trump is not saved, Donald Trump is destined for hell, no matter how many good things he does. So do I hate Islam? Yes. Is Islam a destructive force? 20 some odd times in the Quran, they call for violent jihad. That is nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible. I recently saw an interview with Piers Morgan and Tommy Robinson. And Piers Morgan won't even let Tommy Robinson talk and just keeps calling him Islamophobic, Islamophobic. If you say things that are actually true, but hurtful to a narrative, that does not make you phobic. That makes you a truth speaker. If you say things that are actually true, but offend, that does not make you phobic. That does not make you wrong because you're offending people. The truth is simply the truth. Islam is a violent jihadist religion. Does that mean all Islamists are violent? No. Should you have the right in the United States to be Muslim? Yes, because listen, you have the right to be Hindu. You have the right to be agnostic. You have the right to be an atheist. You have the right to worship the devil in the United States, and you should. Freedom of religion, no problem. First Amendment. But here's the line, and there's always lines in cultures and societies. Should we be importing it? If you have people that will violate the Constitution for their faith, they ought not to be imported into our country. Look at what's happening in Great Britain. Let's deep dive into this. Bob video, the purpose of Islam in simple words. Play for me, Brent.
The entire purpose of Islam, according to all Islamic doctrine, is to ensure that there is an Islamic state throughout the entire world called a caliphate, and under that, Sharia or Islamic law is the law of the land. That's it. Islam is no more complicated than that. Islam breaks the entire world into two parts, the Dar al-Islam, where Sharia is the law of the land, and the Dar al-Harb, the house or abode of war, where there is not Sharia as the law of the land. The function of Islam is to eliminate the Dar al-Harb until the entire world is a Dar al-Islam. And the vehicle to do that is called what? Jihad, which in 100% of all published Islamic law is only defined as warfare against non-Muslims.
Again, in the United States, you can't stop people from following a religion, but you can stop people from overturning the Constitution of the United States of America via jihad and Sharia law, which we have basically no drive zones. We have no police zones in the United States right now. Where and you have Muslim police cars in New York City. It's like we had Chinese police stations in Canada and the U.S. Well, the FBI ended up raiding one in New York City just to cover it up. Well, the FBI actually wants that to be there because the FBI wants the United States to be overthrown. So you cannot, again, if you have Muslims in the United States and, you know, they go to their mosques and they read their Korans and they do what they do, but they can't institute Sharia law. That's where you draw the line. They can't obviously commit a jihad or, you know, they'll suffer the criminal penalties for doing so. But again, the line is, do you import these people? The people who don't believe, do you import into your country people who don't believe in a constitutional republic, do you import them in? Well, if you're a globalist, leftist, bourgeois elitist who wants to turn the United States into a third world country by allowing a southern border invasion of many, many Muslims and, of course, third world immigrants who have no heritage connection to the Constitution, which makes them very easily globally governed. You and I are not easily globally governed. So 1,164 people that are watching right now, you and I are not easily globally governed because you and I know about our Second Amendment rights and our First Amendment rights and our 14th Amendment rights. We know it. So we're not very easily globally governed. We're not gonna be like, take a vaccine because Bill Gates' WHO tells you to. We don't do that because we know. If you don't know about that and you're just somebody who's illegally invaded this country through the southern border, you don't know about your constitutional rights. Then they tell you to take your 10th COVID vaccine. Okay, no problem. Put your mask on again. It's like that eerie video that we played from the White House yesterday where they're talking about the future and everybody in that video is masked. And that video is made right now, 2025, or just before 2025, posted in 2025. You'll very easily be masked, disarmed, put into 15-minute seats because you have no idea what your rights are. If you ever, there's a Song Ping Guang, I believe, something like that, page on Twitter where you want to know what their future utopia is, go to China. 15-minute cities, you can't leave your 15-minute cities unless you go through a facial recognition device. And if you don't have enough social credit points, you can't leave your 15-minute city. That's what they want for all of us. Leverage you into a one-world commerce system with a single access point controlled by them. Go to the next one. Radio Genoa tweet. Keir Starmer, the prime minister of Great Britain, who received like 7% of support from the citizenry, Keir Starmer says he will bring one. Here's his response to what we just said. Basically, how Muslims look at things, it's either Sharia or not Sharia. And if it's not Sharia, we're going to use jihad to usher in Sharia. That's how Muslims see it. That's how what the Quran says. Keir Starmer has no problem with that. Radio Genoa tweet. Keir Starmer says he will bring in 1 million Pakistanis to England as new nursery and primary school teachers. Got that, Aaron? As primary and nursery school teachers, the ones who are raping kids. Oh, Tom, how could you say that? Don't worry, we'll get there. Cheryl E. video, when they tell you what they're going to do, believe them. Play for me.
Jihad is part of our religion. It's a concept in our religion, so I'm not going to be apologetic.
Jihad for the sake of Allah. You accept Islam, you pay jizya, it's war. The solution, very simple. Jihad fi sabilillah.
We don't fear anyone but Allah.
I mean,
we don't fear the United Nations, British government. We don't give a damn. We only fear Allah. Jihad fi sabilillah.
And the disbelievers that may surround that community, the Quran has legislated something known as al-jihad, which we would refer to more specifically al-jihad al-qitali, the armed struggle or armed warfare against those elements.
What do you think the future is, though, for jihad? Because...
Well, I just said, the Prophet ﷺ, I believe, he said in the hadith that al-jihad madin ila yawm al-qiyam, it's continuous until the day of judgment.
Islam is seeking to have a ministry of defense, and the ministry of defense is carrying out the jihad activities. This is natural. And this should be accepted as it is accepted in any other law.
These are the people that the Democratic Party supports. The Democratic Party has a extreme problem with MAGA protesters on 1/6, but has no problem with these people at all, who are right there. So imagine if you and I said that about, if that was part of our Christian faith, that jihad, military violence to usher in your religion by force is part of your religion. Imagine if you and I said that. What would be the repercussions for you and I? We'd already be in prison. But for them, no problem at all. No problem at all. Because again, the Muslims are helping them to usher in their totalitarianism. They help them do it. Eventually, they'll turn on each other. I'm talking about people like the World Economic Forum. They use Muslims to usher in their totalitarianism. But how do they do it? They allow them to commit these terrorist acts so that the citizenry runs to the government for protection. So the government actually imports the threat and then causes its citizenry to run to the government to protect it from the threat that the government imported. That's exactly what's happening. Get that. I want to say that one more time to make it clear. The government imports the threat, and then the citizenry goes to the government to protect them from that which the government imported. Exactly what's happening. That ushers you into a one world commerce system with a singular access point. We got to protect you. So we got to know everything about you. You got to have a global vaccine passport. You got to have a green pass, a common pass, so that we can protect you. You got to have CBDC currency, because we can't have these terrorist organizations able to transfer funds around the world or use funds around the world. We're doing this to protect you. That's why they use Islam right now. All right, look at this now. 21st century, put that up there for me, Brent. 21st century British justice. We're going to focus on Great Britain here for a minute. This guy posted racist comment on Facebook. Now, what does racist actually mean? Is Islam a race, Aaron, or is it a religion?
That's a religion.
Okay, are there white people that are Islamic?
Yep.
Okay, so it's not a race. So he probably put an anti-Islam Islamic post. By the way, I would put an anti-Islamic post without hesitation and have. And will again. And he's serving 15-week prison sentence. The next guy sold anti-immigration stickers. Oh, my gosh. In Great Britain. Anti-immigration stickers. 24 months in prison. It's Great Britain now. Five Eyes. One of Five Eyes country. The next guy, Al-Sa'ami, he raped a 12-year-old girl. He got 180 hours of community service. So if you criticize the rapist, you'll have a longer prison term than the rapist. That's how you can summarize that particular picture. Let's go to the next one. Don Keith video. 250,000 young British white girls have been raped in the last 250,000. It's way more than that. It's a conservative estimate. Have been raped in the last 25 years. Get this, Aaron, in Great Britain alone. 250,000 rapes. By largely Muslim men. Play for me.
But accept that if we extrapolate nationally, the Jay report on Rotherham and other reports on Telford and Oxford, there appear to have been upwards of 250,000 young white girls raped in this century, very largely by Muslim men. And given these girls are usually raped several...
All right, bring it back and then back it up. Back it up 10 seconds, Brent. So Did you hear the response there? I don't usually interject in the middle of the video, but I'm going to do it here. In the video, he says, 250,000. Aaron, put yourself on.
Yep.
He says in the video, 250,000 British white girls have been raped. Is that in fact true?
Yeah.
That's true. That's criminal statistics. That's their UCR statistics, right? So 250,000 women have been, wait, correction, white girls
right.
have been raped, right?
Yep.
That's the truth.
Yep.
Now, he says by largely Muslim men. Aaron, put yourself back on.
Oh, okay.
So, but he says, now, how would you know that? And Brent, you know this, because on the probable cause affidavit or on the police report, it has what's called a suspect. So you can trace 250,000 cases and say that most of those sexual offenses, most of those rapes
yeah.
were committed. I'm not using their SAs like you do have to on TikTok. Rapes
yeah.
were committed by Muslim men. And the parliament, just keep yourself on, the parliament goes, how can you say that? Is it true? Is it true, Aaron?
Yeah,
it's all true. Right. Yeah. What's the problem? What's the problem? I don't have a problem with it. You're good. So, if I say to you, who's most likely to be a serial mass murderer outside of Muslims and their mass shootings? I'm just talking about, you know, rudimentary Jeffrey Dahmer stuff. Who is it? Who's most likely to be that? A white man in America. True. Is it not? It is most serial Jeffrey Dahmer types are white men addicted to porn. That's a fact.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I wouldn't go, how could you say what's true? That's what's so funny about pastoring a church. People, Christians, offended by what Bible verses say because the Bible verses aren't Christ-like. Because they actually worship a Pharisaic, idolic Jesus.
Yeah.
Same thing here. You're not allowed to say what's true. I don't know. I won't get to it tonight, but there's a Joe Rogan video with Gavin McGinnis, and Gavin McGinnis is talking about the inbreeding problem inside of the Muslim religion and the Muslim community, which it is a major, major freaking problem, and it lowers IQs down into the 70s. And Joe Rogan goes, and that is basically retardation. Am I allowed? They actually saying that? What's wrong with saying it? You know what? If it's retarded, it's retarded. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's cold outside, you can't say it's cold outside. What do I have to say? It's less warm. if an IQ of 70 means mental retardation, then why is Rogan worried about saying retardation? And I love Rogan. I'm just saying, why are you concerned about it? It's the same thing here. All right, play it for me.
Nationally, the J report on Rotherham and other reports on Telford and Oxford, there appear to have been upwards of 250,000 young white girls raped in this century, very largely by Muslim men. And given these girls are usually raped several times a day for years, say, my lords, what is the government's answer to the Chief Constable of Northumbria, who has just said that there is every likelihood that these grooming gangs are operating in every one of our major cities? So, my lords, what is the government doing to prosecute those in authority who turned a blind eye to all this because they were afraid of being Islamophobic and so on? And what is it doing to compensate and help these victims mentally?
So what does Keir Starmer do? Import them as teachers. Again, it's to leverage you into a one-world commerce system. They import the rapist, so you have to run to the government to have them protect you from being raped. They import the rapist, so now you're scared that you're going to get raped, so you have to run to the government to protect you from that which they brought in. It's the purpose of it all. All right, that's it. 10:19. That's good. Hey, same time as last night. All right, love you guys. Rumble Rants, Gianna Jones, $20. BP2, Tim 17, $10. Or in the court, $10. Tammy L. Margaret, $10. Patty K. 44, $1. Appreciate each and every one of you guys in the Rumble Rant. Love you guys in the chat. Just a quick, really quick post game. Stick around for the post game. Love you guys. Oh, don't forget, church this Sunday. Trying to break the record. Our record is 712 people live watching us at Foundation Church. I will say hey to you at Foundation Church on Sunday. Join us. Love Trump. Love, on the whole, what's going on with Trump, transition, Trump transition team, everything, and the picks and everything else. But Trump is not Jesus. He will not get you into heaven. You got to have a church. Got to have a pastor. Most importantly, you got to have a Savior. Join us at Foundation Church this Sunday starting at 10 a.m. You'll see Aaron take over around 10:15. I'll be on the stage at about 11 preaching. You never know what can happen when I'm up there. You have no idea. I said from the pulpit last week, that's gay, like three times.
That's true.
That's gay. Okay, I don't care. I don't care. So love you guys. Appreciate you. Join us at Foundation Church this Sunday at 10 a.m. if you can. If not, back here Monday, 9 o'clock at night. No more vacation. 9 p.m. on Monday. Join us. Appreciate you guys. Love you. Great amount of people on tonight. Almost 1,200 people. Love you. Appreciate you greatly. And I really do mean it. A lot of people say it. I really do mean it. I'll be in the chat during the post game. Stick around for post game. It's very short. Love you guys. God bless you. See you on Sunday, or I'll see you on Monday. I'm not talking about those who aren't saved. I'm talking about those who are saved. And I'm even especially talking about those who used to be excited about their walk with God. Maybe those who are saved that have never really been excited. And I'm asking myself, why aren't they excited about Jesus, about their walk with God? And I want to tell you why. Are you ready? The reason why is because you've come in before and you've been lit on fire and you really liked it and you went home and did nothing with it. And then you got lit on fire again, got really excited, and then went home and did nothing with it. You've got to go home and pray, Bible study, worship, and fellowship daily, or it will go out your carnal mind, which is a clanging cymbal, will drown out the love of God.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.